May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Heading off on holiday this last summer, we were walking through the concourse at Stansted Airport, heading towards a departure lounge. And there by the welcome desk was a little boy of about six who was crying, standing by an airport official. And then very swiftly after seeing that came the familiar bing bong over the tannoy and a request, a calling, will the mum and dad of Johnny Smith come to the welcome desk? Johnny Smith is waiting for his mum and dad at the welcome desk. Bing bong. The mum and dad were being called, summoned, and I guess they heard that with some relief and responded swiftly. That opening illustration summarizes the main concept behind today's sermon, the idea of calling. And there are three elements to this sermon, and in typical fashion. So our calling in God's loving purposes, calling down the Holy Spirit, and God calling us by name. So our calling in God's loving purposes. We're in the second Sunday of Epiphany. Epiphany is about the revelation of God's glory in Jesus Christ. And over successive Sundays, we look at the cumulative evidence in the Gospels that Jesus is the Messiah. Last Sunday, we thought about the Magi coming from the east to worship at the manger throne, proffering their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Today we think about the baptism of Christ, the beginning of his public ministry. Everything has been building up to this moment where he's declared to be the Messiah on the banks of the River Jordan. And his public ministry begins. Here in his baptism, he is commissioned for all that lies ahead. And as we look at his own calling in his baptism, we discover something of our own calling as Christians. We see Jesus' calling is affirmed by John the Baptist, affirmed by someone else. John the Baptist says of Jesus, "There's one coming who is mightier than I. I'm not fit to even untie his sandals, the job of a slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So John the Baptist witnesses to the calling of Jesus. Then Jesus is baptized. And when we're baptized, we are commissioned. Commissioned to a life of discipleship, a life of service. There's a calling to us in our baptism to live out the rest of our lives faithfully following Christ and serving God. In Luke's version, if you look at the text closely, the descent of the Spirit upon him happens after his baptism as he is praying. And we discover more of our own calling as Christians as we pray. Our calling takes shape, it's formed as we pray to God. So we see in those elements of Jesus' calling something about our own calling. It's about our baptism. It's about others witnessing and telling us, affirming us about what God's asking us to do. And we're empowered in prayer by the Holy Spirit. Our calling takes shape as we pray to God. So what might be your calling? As you reflect upon that, we begin with where we are. Who has God given us to love? Think about those primary relationships. Who has God given you to care for and to love? That's part of your calling. What are your roles and responsibilities at the moment? What is God giving you to do? But in the midst of the status quo, we need to be open to God asking us to do something new in the world or in the church. Living out our baptism asking and wondering what other people think might be our calling, if it's something new, and praying about it. We discern our calling together. We all have an individual calling. We have a calling collectively together as a church. Jesus says of his people, "You are the light of the world." The church is a pilot project for the whole of humanity. What we learn in our life together, we share with the world. Here we learn what it means to love each other. We learn what it means to be those who seek peace and justice. We learn what it means to be truth seekers. And the world needs more than ever the light the church can bring. The light of love, the light of reconciling, peacemaking love. The church needs us, the world needs us to model that, to exemplify that, to be on fire with God's reconciling love. We have a calling together. So we've got a calling in God's loving purposes, and we are to call down the Holy Spirit to help us. Our birthright as adopted children of God is that we can call down the Holy Spirit to help us in what God gives us to do. Here is a fundamental Christian truth. When God gives us something to do, he gives us the power to do it. God enables us by the Spirit to fulfill the responsibilities and tasks that God gives us. The Spirit is there to remind us that we need to stay humble. Whenever we do something in God's service, we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit. The Spirit also reminds us that we can be courageous for God, because God's power and strength is there for us by the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be daunted by anything God gives us to do. The Spirit is there to guide us and to lead us as we live lives of discipleship and service. A number of parallels I could draw with what the Spirit does for us as we journey on in faith. And I want to take myself back to a daunting task of teaching the girls to drive. I've probably got more wrinkles and grey hairs doing that than anything else I've ever done. But when you're teaching somebody to drive, you're alongside them. You're not steering, you're not on the pedals. You're just giving a bit of guidance, telling them to stop, wait, slow down, please. That kind of a thing. But being there alongside them to give guidance, to be a companion, to reassure them when it gets a bit rocky, is what your role is when you're teaching somebody to drive. That's a bit of a picture of the Spirit. There to guide us, there to reassure us, there to help us to live out our calling. The Spirit never undermines our integrity as individuals, but we're never on our own as Christians. We do as Christians, we do for ourselves, but never by ourselves. The goal of our discipleship is to become more and more dependent on the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, that everything is inspired by the Spirit. That's our goal. So remember to pray for the Spirit to come down upon us, together and individually, as we seek to live out our discipleship. Call down the Holy Spirit. And finally, God calls us by name. If we look at our Isaiah reading, that's a strong theme that comes through. The prophet is talking to the exiles in Babylon. They're desperate. They're in despair. They're doubting their calling as God's chosen people. And here we have an oracle of salvation, an oracle of reassurance. I've called you by name. You are precious to me. Now, as a teacher, I knew the importance of learning the children's names. Without that, you can't possibly control a class. So one of the first tasks you do is to learn their names. Any teacher here would echo that, wouldn't you? So you learn their names because you need to get their attention at various points. And God knows our names because he wants to get our attention. And when somebody knows their name, they can summon you and they can call you. And that's where God knowing our name begins. But when he calls us, he wants us to know that we're beloved and precious. That's the starting point for our whole Christian discipleship. We stand in the place of Jesus at his baptism and we hear God speak to us. You are my child, the beloved. God calls us by name. And that's why we're named at our baptism. David Roberts, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're called and summoned by our names because we're precious and beloved. So called into God's loving purposes, we can call down the Holy Spirit and God calls us by name because we're precious and beloved. And that's the starting point for our calling, that we're beloved and precious. And Jesus tells a story about a lost boy. Let's go back to the opening illustration. The boy crying, lost, longing for his mum and dad to come and rescue him. And Jesus tells a story about a lost son. In a distant land, times are hard, there's a famine. So he ends up on a pig farm. He's about to eat the pig's swill and he comes to his senses and begins a long journey home, smelly, bedraggled, not looking his best, wondering what kind of reception he's going to receive. And while he's still some way off his home, the father goes running out to meet him, wraps him up in his arms, calls for the sandals, calls for the ring, calls for the fatted calf to be killed, and says, I thought you were lost, but you're found. I thought you were dead, but you're alive. Welcome home, my beloved and precious child. The feast was ready to begin, and communion reminds us that God has done everything for us to know his salvation, to know his love. And he summons us in this service every time we gather for communion to draw near with faith, to receive the body and blood of Christ, those symbols of his love, those symbols that remind us we're precious and loved. Let's come forward with open hearts and open minds to hear God renew his calling to us to be God's people in his loving purposes, to remind us we can depend upon the Holy Spirit in all things, and that he knows us by name and loves us. Amen.